Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 65. How easy was that, eh?
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our hearts red. For Boston, take 20 strokes of liberty. And ever with the right shot as they bomb to touch me no more in the world. It's time for Boston, for Boston, my heart is over.
Bastards and wenches, be seated and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am your King Baby Duck.
I'm your Blue Onyx.
I'm just Anvil.
Now, last week we had this little discussion on under our over fuck's sake about the smoking ban on campus of Salem State.
Yeah, what happened?
It passed.
Congratulations, fuckers. The campus police now have something to do.
Really?
Yeah, to keep people away from the fucking campus while they're smoking. Especially on those cold winter fuck days.
Actually, I think if I'm ever bored, I'm just going to go sit out in front of the college on a, you know, cold, snowy day and watch all the fuckers freeze.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be too much fun.
You got to feel bad for them because a lot of our friends are in that smoking
crowd.
Doesn't matter.
You know, I mean, that's the whole reason why I didn't pick up smoking in the first place. I mean, I got enough secondhand smoke at home, but more or less the whole thing is I'm getting, you know, enough shit anyways with people smoking. But I do respect your reason because of the fact that, yes, you made a shit ton of friends just because of the fact that, hey, they're out smoking, I'll go talk to somebody, hi, nice to meet you. Yeah, okay, but next right. to that, it's just, I think it's kind of, you know, it doesn't help your fucking, you know,
I mean, it'd be
central nervous system.
I mean, it'd be awkward if it's a group of people and instead of smoking cigarettes they're like chomping on celery.
Yeah, well, but I don't want to even mention celery because of MacGruber, but anyway.
I wasn't even going there, but
yes,
great,
you were.
Great one right there.
But the whole fact is that, I don't know, I just don't like the idea of smoking in the first place. I think it's really unattractive, and if you get the significant other that's smoking and you're kissing, and it's just an ashtray. I just don't like the ashtray method.
I do love the smoking commercials from the 1930s and 40s where it's like, 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Camel cigarettes out of any other brand. Camel cigarettes, they don't just taste good, they're good for you.
Yeah, and then now they, you know, have it.
Can't fight them?
You can't even, you know, do commercials on, like, cigarettes, basically. You can only do posters or some shit.
Technically, back in the 30s, that's when cigarettes were cleaner. It was just pure tobacco.
Yeah, it's not all this whole rocket fuel bullshit all lined into it. And, oh, yeah.
So they kind of were good for you, you know. It was just tobacco.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
it was like smoking marijuana now.
You could actually still... What the fuck? Are you serious?
No, I mean, just pure. It's not chemicalized.
All right, well, let's... if you're smoking probably pure pot, not fucking stuff laced with, like, whatever.
Like the stuff that you grow in your closet, hydroponically.
Yeah, okay, anyways, I'm not even going to mention
this.
Fuck you. No,
he loves that.
Anyways, the whole fact is that I
thought... That was our pot plants? I thought those were, like, those Christmas Eve type of plants that people have.
No, it's one of those little Japanese maple trees, you know.
Oh, yes, one of those.
Anyways, but to say what I was going to say here is probably the tobacco from how the Native Americans used to smoke was probably a lot healthier, you know, in that sense, instead of just the stuff that's layered and caked together and shit like that.
How?
Fucking A, I hate you.
But I bet you back then, too, because it was the peace pipe and it had the hallucinogenics. You think they filled it up with that, what's that?
LSD?
No, not LSD.
PCP?
PCP?
No, not PCP.
ABC?
No, not angel dust. Remember the movie Beavis and Butthead Do America, where he thinks he eats that cactus, and it's but it's the hallucinogen.
Oh, peyote.
Peyote.
Oh,
okay.
Peyote. And I've only learned that just because of the fact that I've watched Cheech and Chong. And
Cheech and Chong and Chuck Norris.
Yeah, exactly. Chuck Norris, too, but...
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, I'm so fucking high. No, I'm just kidding. But...
I should be chasing this guy while I'm peyote. Right,
why don't we cut out of this? Let's go to the fucking movie.
All right. We just saw the movie Easy A. Now, technically, this came out last week, but there really wasn't anything that was worthwhile coming out this weekend.
No.
No, well, yeah. It seemed like we didn't really want to go and see Wall Street for some reason. It just didn't
matter.
Actually, Wall Street wasn't this week. It's next week.
I thought it was last weekend.
No, it's next week.
No,
anyways,
this weekend.
Who gives a shit? But the whole thing about it...
And you want to go see Devil?
Yeah, we don't want to see Devil.
I did.
He doesn't. Blonnie doesn't want another aneurysm.
No, I don't need another aneurysm.
If he gets another aneurysm because of it, you are fitting the bill.
Yes, you are.
Well, I'll just dump his body in a ditch. I have to put the bill for what? Fucking shovel?
Yeah, you could probably.
Bill for surgery.
Surgery? No, I'm dumping the body in a hole, dead or alive.
All right. So, anyways, you, bro, back to the Easy A shit here.
That's the worst kind of friendship I've ever heard in my past.
No, but he'd do the same thing.
Yeah,
for me.
I would do the same thing for him.
See,
just that's the easiest medical setup that Massachusetts could probably
after an aneurysm, there's a chance of living as a vegetable, and we don't want that.
Yeah, because the whole concept of living as a vegetable is not a great idea.
Why would we want to be something we won't eat?
All right, so now back to the Easy A movie here. Now, who do we got in the lineup here?
Emma Stone.
Thomas Hayden Church. Stanley Tucci.
Oh, Stanley Tucci. I like Stanley Tucci.
Same here. Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes, ugh, which she kind of got a little chunky.
Yeah.
A little.
Lisa Kudrow.
Ugh, Kudrow. I hate her.
Was that the one that was Big Tits or something like
no,
that?
No, she was the guidance counselor.
Oh, right.
From Friends.
Oh, right, from Friends. And the other guy from Wings.
Or Ned and Stacy.
Or he played Spider-Man. He played the Sandman in Spider-Man 3 or some shit.
He was also Paul Giamatti's best friend in Sideways.
Oh, yeah, that's true. The one that caused all that shit between the hot Asian, well, the comedian. She's a lesbian. Is she really a lesbian in real life?
No, Sandra Oh. She's on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, okay.
He was in Idiocracy.
Idiocracy, correct, yeah.
Did you just, like, snap your fingers in front of my face?
Yes, he did.
Bite me.
You'll like that too much anyway.
No, he bites his hand, I just yank his teeth, come out with it.
Alright, the concept of the movie is this girl who's a teenager, not noticed in high school until the concept that she pretends that she's had sex that she went and did a weekend thing with a guy.
A guy named George.
From
a community college. He's, you know, what, 18, 19 or something like that, yeah. Because he's a freshman. So, in that sense, they get together, supposedly, but she's just hanging out with her fucking dog, listening to a goddamn, birthday card or some stupid shit?
Yeah, that stupid Pocket Full of Sunshine song that they play over and over again at my workplace.
She got to the point where she, like, opened it, she's like, oh my god! And then she was just like, oh, okay. And then she started to get to the point where she was singing it, and then the fucking thing finally died, and then it ended up being her, like... text message phone or high ring sound, and fucking, oh man, it just was horrible.
I was laughing in the shower.
I couldn't believe that she would say it's just the worst song ever, which I agree on wholeheartedly.
It is one of the worst fucking songs ever.
I don't know what a bucket of sunshine.
I hate you.
Go ahead. Come on, man. You're threatening physical abuse.
Hey, I punched you last week.
Yes, he did.
That wasn't a real punch.
Alright, well, we'll do it later then. So with the with the actual movie as it was going on, she got to the point where she lied to her best friend. Then it was picked up because it was in the toiletry area. Anybody could hear it, and of course Amanda Bynes' character heard it, and she's this whole Christian fucking bullshit that I hate.
You must have loved that, huh?
Oh, I was just loving it to death. I mean, her little, dirty, you know, her little, like,
click.
I don't know, fucking, you know, cross with, like, the silver or whatever the fuck it was, platinum setup. I was just wanting to puke because of the fact that it was so, like, over-the-top religious Christian bullshit. I was like, give me a fucking break.
It was like in that movie Saved with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, exactly. I think they even made a reference towards that movie.
Maybe.
I when she turned around and said, I think I've been saved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have I been saved?
Yeah,
we just knocked off the head of Jesus.
We're so going to hell. So with that whole thing said, she gets to the point where she finds out about that. Then her gay, I don't even know if he's the best friend, but it was like a friend. And said, hey, would you pretend to have sex with me or something like that? Or to do something with me so I could say that, you know, I actually am not gay because I'm tired of getting my ass kicked. Which, I can understand that there is still bullying fucking going on. This is actually good because...
it happened a lot at Lynn Classical.
Probably too much.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, bullshit.
Dude, I was a jock. I had no clue about
Bullshit!
We did not bully.
Oh, okay.
Well, Ford and the gang didn't really bully.
Yeah. So, dealing with that, she pulls him into the party, and probably if you've seen the trailer, it gets to the point where she's, you know, they're bouncing on the bed, pretending on it. And it gets to the point where it goes right in the stomach. So, yeah, he comes out of the room and everything like that, and everybody's just like, yeah. Well, not completely, because he kept on saying the wrong things anyways, but it was pretty funny.
I'll be walking funny tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm drunk, motherfuckers! And then, then they were like, yeah, and they pulled him in. But, yeah, it seems like it's sad that if high school is still like this, I don't know if it's... I don't know. I haven't really dealt with high school.
We must have to, you know, ask the nephew later.
Yeah, we must have to ask the nephew and see how it
is. Hey, do they still do wedgies like this? Yeah.
Oh! And do they still give swirlies like this?
But I know that this seems more or less like the Beverly Hills version, because that's how, like, their high school was based. And
they made the Sweet Valley High reference. This shit is way too fucking
happy and all that other stuff. Along with that, I really... think that this movie was a chick flick.
No,
two out of the three members don't believe this is a chick flick. I believe I just sat through a chick flick because of the fact that it was a concept that they mentioned John Hughes, 16 Candles. Shut the fuck up. Let me finish, then you can say your word.
Fine.
So, in that sense, they have the whole thing going through where the women, they're trying to, get, like, the relationship thing. Even at the end, I don't want to ruin it, but it's kind of like a happy ending. It's just one of those things that comes together, and they're like, woohoo, you know, kissing, getting happy.
I thought one person comes during a happy ending.
That's very true, but... So, friend on the thing, Sardaukar, says that, yeah, you just ruin an obvious ending. Yeah, it's the obvious ending. It's all happy bullshit. Especially when it comes to these types of movie, but I have to say that this movie is chick flick. No, I can't fucking...
You mentioned John Hughes.
No, but 16 motherfucking candles.
So Dogma mentioned John Hughes. The comic book prequel, Chasing Dogma, based its whole storyline about going to Sherman, Illinois.
That's not even a real place.
I know, but was a basis of a John Hughes movie.
God damn it. Anyway.
See, he's got nothing to say, but anyways.
No, just because of the fact that that's based on that, it's still a concept that these were wanting to, these people were still, you know, wanting to live in the 80s, and that concept of, I mean, shit, they even relived the whole part where, what's his name, John Cusack holds up the fucking mic. I mean, the stereo speaker system, except it's the, you know, the iPod version, and he stole a mower from his neighbors or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, I think this movie teaches a good lesson how a rumor can ruin somebody's life.
Yeah.
So that's not a chick flick.
But also, the other thing about that is how much technology can enroll it and make it even worse.
Yeah, because text message helped hugely.
Yeah, anybody remembers playing the stupid game in school, like telephone, remember how it would go from one person, they'd whisper to the next person, then the next person. It would have changed completely.
We used to do that on campfire every summer.
I don't know how many times everything was going to be, like, you know, switched out and changed out, and especially this showed that in that movie where everybody was going in and texting
blue
with each other.
Penis?
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's what he just said.
No, he said blue likes police.
Oh, see?
I'm sorry. I thought he said blue likes penis.
Motherfucker. Take this off camera. We'll kick your ass.
When we do it on camera, we can maybe, you know, make some.
I don't think we'd be able to see it, because they would think it was, you know, it was fake. We'd have to actually have a real live camera, you know, record me kicking your ass.
Hey, 17 people have tried already.
Yeah,
15 of them wound up unconscious.
So, but
allegedly.
Allegedly. Anyways, back to the movie. I think, you know, this is actually a really good movie to probably go see with your date or something like that, but this whole sausage fest thing was a little bit too much for me.
There was a seat in between each of us.
Yeah, I know there's a seat in between both of us. Hell, we could have sit in the other, you know, aisles or whatever, but still, I think it was just
too much. My girlfriend was there in spirit.
Yes, in spirit.
A PG-13 movie dropping the twat word, that was a shocker.
I know.
I never knew that you could get away with that. I thought that would be an automatic R.
Yeah, but the only thing about the bitch that said skank to her deserved to actually get knocked the fuck out.
She's kind of hot, though.
Fuck hot! She was a stupid Christian bullshit
whore. I mean, in real life, she's probably not. Yeah.
I say that these people that were for all the Christian thing were whores, and along with that...
Well, we found out the dude was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the guy...
I got gonorrhea!
No, chlamydia. So the guy...
That's worse than gonorrhea.
He got chlamydia because of the fact of, you know, he was sleeping with the guidance counselor.
Played by Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, yes. So let's put it this way. What it is, the main character has to, you know, takes it.
He had sex with Phoebe. He's had sex with a smelly cat girl.
Joey wouldn't even do that.
Oh, man. Berg, he says, makes it better when you make her break her beliefs. Yeah, it does. It really does. Mm-hmm. So with that whole setup going with that, it was easy to see that this movie was pretty funny. I have to say that. I mean, I don't know if you guys want to go into ratings. Do you want to say anything about it?
I wouldn't say it's one of the best comedies of all time. But it was pretty funny.
It was clever. It's clever in its own way.
It was fun. Okay. It was an interesting concept. We laughed throughout the whole thing. And if I were to give it a grade, I wouldn't give it a 4.5, nor would I give it a 4. It would be right in the middle, like 4.25 out of 5.
Okay.
That doesn't sound too bad.
I'll give it a 4 and say that I would definitely see if my girlfriend would want to go see it. Because I think this is a movie that my girl would like.
Right. It's a good dating movie. It's not so much a chick flick. Unlike what Blue Onyx says.
Well, with me, I'll give it a 4. But in that sense, I felt like I was watching not another teen movie, except it was more satire than anything than the actual comedy.
And don't forget, she was wearing lingerie.
Yeah, she was. She was wearing.
Those corsets were nice.
She pulled off her panties
too. Those were sexy.
Yeah, those were sexy red lace thongs.
Yeah, with one hand. That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then
I wonder how long it took her to practice that.
Dude, most women can do it.
I like the, here's $50, if you don't like it, you can go fuck yourself, and it's a vibrator.
No, it was a $200 gift card to Target.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then a vibrator. But they never actually show the vibrator. They just let you know what it is by her holding up, you see the shape, and then you see a vibrating.
There you go, have fun with yourself. That's basically what it said in the card. But yeah, I think we could kill this movie off. I mean, but all together, it's not that bad.
I don't know if they're buying a girl a vibrator, though. That's just kind of strange.
I think he meant it as
a joke. He was a gay guy, so what the fuck?
I know Blue's done it, but...
How do you know?
Dude, I've seen your toys and I've seen your exes, so you know.
Wait, I don't have toys.
Then why do you have anal beads?
That's not me.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's Big Rob.
Oh, yeah, that's Big Rob.
Big Rob.
Ding! Had to.
You fucking slut.
I had to.
All right, anyways. So what's on to our next selection
here? Speaking of high school, I want to take you back to 2002/2003.
Why?
Well, let's see. What happened during those glorious last years of...
Well, you were probably graduating. Wait, I was graduating in 2004.
Yes.
What were the years again?
2002 to 2003. Because, let's see, Korn just came out with their long-awaited album, Untouchables. Okay. We were all watching the Osbournes
System of a Down was doing their work back then, too, so yeah.
Yep. And... I was sitting in Mr. Wodkowski's social studies class playing a demo of a game called Worms Armageddon.
Okay.
I guess Angel doesn't get to say what he was doing those years, but whatever, okay.
What were you doing, besides jerking off?
My team, we won 2 championships.
Yeah!
Baseball and track. You
was
remember
it Rams?
Years? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for class. You remember when we won the baseball state championship? Because that party was awesome that we had.
I wasn't invited to
the party. No, in the gym, when the banner got put up.
Yeah.
That was an awesome time.
Wait, you said... was it prostate or prostate? It sounded like you said prostate. I know you meant
all state.
Oh. All state insurance.
And right. I went 2 for 4 with a double, a single, and a walk. No, I didn't hit a home run. I wish.
No, keep going.
Wait, are you talking baseball or are you talking about your sex life during high school?
How do you hit a double and a single and not, well, threesome and just regular?
Then you made the other girl walk.
Oh. All right, come on. Let's just get to the video games already, for fuck's sake.
I came across the game Worms 2 Armageddon. I used to play this back in high school when we were supposed to be learning social studies, but our teacher, instead of making us read books, they had us watch movies.
Yo, he was the greatest teacher ever.
I agree.
I am for junior, and my senior year was his last year there, so he's like, I just don't give a fuck anymore. We're all looking at him, he's like, yes, I'm gonna fucking swear all year round. Fire me on the year I'm retiring?
Yeah, and that's what you love about those professors, well, because they've got the balls to like say, fuck everybody.
His final year... We learned World War II, and he hung up all the flags, and he accidentally had the Nazi one over the window. So people were crying, complaining. So we had to switch that one to the other side of the room, and when we covered the Revolutionary War, he actually brought a 6-foot musket and just started aiming it at people.
Oh, shit!
No, he was a crazy old dude, but he made learning fun. It was yes. A lot of movies.
It was awesome.
He's the only teacher that told me the one thing about World War II that no teacher ever told me.
What?
The reason why there's no paintings from World War II.
They were destroyed.
No. Well, I mean, they were destroyed, but you know why they were destroyed? Hitler would take the skin off the Jews and paint on it.
Yep.
That's why they were destroyed, and he told us that.
Yeah.
Well, dude, they had everything from lamps made out of, you know, skins and everything like that.
But I don't even remember reading about, like, wallpaper made out of eyeballs.
Yeah, all right. Fuck this.
He was that teacher that let you do anything.
All right, back to the fucking thing. Come on, let's talk about
the games. Mr. Wachowski.
Yeah.
Yes. They just came out for a PS3 version, but it was out last year on Xbox Live, of Worms 2
yes.
Armageddon. Now, for those of you who've never played these games, you're basically a team of 4 worms, and you gotta kill the other 4 worms from the other team. Okay. You can do this in the single-player mode, campaign mode, multiplayer mode, online mode, any type of mode. And you can, like, customize the worms. You can make them talking like an angry Scotsman while wearing top hats.
Oh, fucking A. Why?
Hey, I made B3 versions of
the worms. Oh, okay. All right.
Are we talking it like angry Scotsman? Because yep. I think that would have made Anvil happy.
Yep. That would have made him really happy.
And basically, you can, like, use ninja ropes and sheep and the holy hand grenade from Monty Python and the Holy Grail to try and defeat all these worms.
Yeah.
It's been 7 years since I last played this game, and I had forgotten how much fun it is just to kill these little
So now the question I have is now what is their setup now? Beforehand, wasn't it 2D, I remember, or something
like that? It's still 2D, but it's the way it really should be, because I don't think worms could work in a 3D world.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, that'd be like Earthworm Jim, you know, playing
yeah.
him again.
Earthworm Jim!
Actually, I think they have... new games of his as well, so we'll probably go searching.
Yeah, I heard rumor that they might do a new one, but back to this. It's cartoonish, like, antics that help keep the spirit of Worms alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a fantastic game from start to finish. Now, granted, I
You already finished it?
Oh, no, there's nothing to finish. You just play the game and just beat all the Worms. Yeah. One issue I did have with it was... I had some trouble with the online mode.
Okay.
Like sometimes I would go on and there would be no available games to play. Okay. Like there'd be either no one was online or there were too many people online.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I actually got a game, there'd be like a 30-second lag in between. So that was kind of like my my con for Worms. But altogether,
that's not too bad for a con.
What's the rating on this?
I do say 5 out of 5 in my notes, but going back and finally able to try the online mode, because I wasn't able to do that until last night, I have to, like, put it down a notch to, like, 4.7 out of 5.
Okay.
That's still pretty good.
That's still a pretty good game. I mean, how much is it now to download from Xbox?
800 points.
Okay.
But then the expansion pack is 400, and you get, like, 3 other different modes to play.
That's pretty good.
You
That's
get deathmatch mode. You get, like, the, I forget the proper name of it. It's... You basically kill as many worms as you can before you die.
Yeah.
Like the Nazi zombie game.
Oh, okay.
Without the Nazi zombies. With worms. But altogether, pretty damn good game.
Sounds pretty fun. I'll probably try the demo when I get home.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be too surprised if you wound up buying it, too.
Yeah.
I would. See?
You Macaulay Culkin motherfucker. Anyways.
Now, last week...
Next game!
Last week, you and I reviewed a game called NBA 2K11, which sucked donkey dick.
Yeah, what? We got another one. We got another one.
Okay.
NBA Elite 11.
Yeah.
From EA Sports.
Now, I remember playing the Elite game, and it was actually pretty impressive, except it had the side view, I believe, on the last one. I'm not sure exactly, but this one actually turned it around.
Yes.
They did a pretty good job with this.
They did the proper way.
Yeah, they did.
And the graphics, I felt, were far superior to the 2K11 version. The controls were a lot easier, too.
Yes.
I had no issue getting the ball into the hole.
Yeah, but the only thing is I think when you were playing the actual in-game, it was a little bit more complicated because of the fact that...
When you shoot it,
you actually have to actually keep the stick straight. Otherwise, you're fucked. It's going to go to the right. It's going to go to the left.
Yeah.
Can't always make three-pointer shots. You know, it did make it realistic in that sense because of the fact is you weren't able to lay that down. The setup of how they have you actually going to the hoop where you could either do a layup, mm-hmm. or you could do a dunk, or you could do a fake layup into a dunk, it was actually pretty impressive how they designed it. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the thing when they did this game was they had it set up where you could go into kind of, it was not third-person view so much, but it was kind of like an up view following the character down the court mm-hmm. instead of from, hey, I'm playing from the fucking crowd again. So this is what I was talking about last week mm-hmm. and the whole setup where they dealt with the whole fucking bullshit of playing it from the crowd, which I don't like anymore because of how they do it. It just doesn't work for me.
Right. I mean, it worked in the 8-bit days. It doesn't really
work exactly.
Anymore.
When you had, you know, NBA Jam, all those other, like, you know, games, it worked perfectly fine. Side-scrolling was fine. But not this shit. It's not. It just doesn't cut it anymore. So more or less, I really like to go, you know, with the whole setup that...
And I like the custom player mode, too.
Yes, the custom player mode was awesome. You could pick who you were. Also, when you actually played the main game, this time, you could actually play as either the Celtics or the Lakers.
Yeah.
So
green.
With Shaquille O'Neal on the Celtics.
Yes, exactly. So they updated it so you could do that.
But I still lost. It sucked.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh. I mean, playing the game, it was just fun altogether, and I think this is probably one of the best things that they should be starting to go towards, and it just getting to the point where they should just actually zoom in and do a third-person view of the basketball player so you can actually see them doing the stupid little fucking tricks with the basketball.
Right. Now, this NBA Elite 11 comes out the same day as 2K11. I would suggest just looking at the 2K11, giving it the two middle finger salute, and just going right towards Elite 11.
Yeah, exactly. Or otherwise, what we always suggest for video games and stuff like that, and if you're really, really into the video games, is always pre-order. You know, you got the stores that you're capable of pre-ordering, pre-order the fuck out of it so you're not going there the day going, hey, I'm here for this game. You're a fucking loser because you didn't pre-order, dumbass. Usually they have one or two in the backup sitting around, but usually they don't because of the fact is there's always shortages of game. This economy sucks balls, so they're going to play it that way as long as they can. So, yeah, but definitely it's one of those setups that it's a great game, and I think we can move on to the next one.
I tried out the Dead Rising 2 prequel, Case Zero.
I didn't get to try it out, my bad.
It takes place 3 years before the actual game's events. You play the protagonist from Dead Rising 2, Chuck Green, and you need to find Zombrex to help save his daughter, Katie. And then, while doing that, you have to rebuild a motorcycle to escape out of town before the military comes around and, like, liquidates the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And also, you have to save other, like, townspeople that haven't been affected by the zombies yet.
Yeah.
Now, the controls on this game are fairly simple. It's the easy hack and slash, jump type of thing. But I do have an issue with the whole zombie AI. It was the same thing I was experiencing with the first Left 4 Dead games, where you were trying to defeat one zombie, and then five other zombies were trying to kick the crap out of you at the same time, or bite you, or whatever it is zombies do. And it was kind of pissing me off.
Yeah.
Now, the graphics in this game do seem like a large improvement from the first one, but I haven't really had much of a chance to play the first game compared to what I've seen with the second one.
Yeah.
Have you ever played the first game?
Yeah, I got to play the first one, and I had an issue with it because of the fact is how the saving points were. You'd always go into the game, you have to do everything, and then all of a sudden you'd have to go back to the pisser or the shitter and
yeah,
save
same
there.
With this one.
And I felt that if you're fucking all the way across the mall and you have to go all the way back to where you basically started and you're fighting off zombies in order to get there to save and you get fucking killed, that's just a waste of your goddamn time. I felt that they could have done much better, but hopefully they have, you know, a better setup where hopefully it will, you know, be able to take more save points.
Yeah. Now, what's good about this game is you can unlock goodies and upgrade your level, and that will transfer over to the actual Dead Rising 2 video game.
Yeah.
So, for 400 Xbox points, this wasn't really a bad deal.
Yeah, this is actually pretty worth it.
Now, they're coming out with another one, too.
The one with the dual chainsaws on the motorcycle?
They're coming out with another prequel, too, called Case West, which will actually feature Frank West, the protagonist from the first video game. You get to play both people, Chuck and Frank.
Yeah.
I think that's coming out next week. But I'll get it. Case Zero, I give it a 4.5 out of 5.
All right, yeah, that sounds good.
What else do we have? We have Duke Nukem Manhattan Project. Now, this was an old game that got re-released on the Xbox. And considering that Duke Nukem Forever has been officially given a release date, February 1st, 2011.
Oh, really?
Yep. They're starting to take pre-orders right now at GameStop and Best Buy and any other place.
All right.
We're kind of jumping around from this.
Yeah, we're jumping around. Okay.
Because I have a lot of stuff that I taught by myself and I need, and my voice sometimes needs a break.
Yeah.
You don't need a break. You're the duck.
Nah,
you quackers.
Now, Blonde, you've played more of this game than I have. What were your thoughts on Manhattan Project?
Manhattan Project, I mean, as shitty as it might sound, and it's probably the only way to have gotten a fix of Duke Nukem, yeah, I say it's actually pretty fun. That's good. All right. Anyways, the whole concept of this game is, yes, it's a side-scroller, and it has that shitty little, I'm trying to shoot up, and I'm trying to shoot down, blah, 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 and I jump around and jump, you know, kind of in a side-view, you know, scroller. And also, when you turn in, you could go into doors or something like that. But It's a lot better than playing the old Duke Nukem on your 360 and trying not to end up in your barrel puking your fucking... Yeah, exactly. Like he said. So, you know, the whole thing about, you know, playing that game and compared to the new Duke Nukem and everything like that, they did a little bit better of a job. Now, when they're supposed to be coming out with the newer one, whenever that officially is, with
February
I think the
1st.
Next, yeah, okay.
That's what it says. Every site says February 1st.
I don't know. I still can't believe it, but I'm hoping that it didn't get botched too much, and hopefully it will come out and be a lot better in
that
sense.
Well, from the reports at PAX Prime, it sounded like it was going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I fucking hope so. Because it just seems that if, you know, you're going to be playing one of the ultimate, you know, games that was from the starting, and it comes out here and it's absolute shit later on when we have the best gaming graphics now, just more or less we've stepped up in technology wise, and they come out with something absolute shit, will just be a disappointed thing. And I just hate to be like the person that goes and buys it the first day and plays it and goes, this is absolute shit, I can't believe I waited for this. So all right, next thing.
Another demo I got to try out was called Blade Kitten, and it's based on a comic book created by Steve Stamatidis. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And it's a side-scroller beat-em-up that follows Kit Ballard, the catgirl bounty hunter.
Okay.
And the gameplay, it was kind of like one of those 2.5D worlds. Like, remember the Dragon Ball video game I had for my Wii?
Yes, kind of,
it has that sort of graphics sort of setup.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah.
And like King Piccolo, I found that a lot of the people that you faced off in this game that you beat up were fairly easy to defeat. Although, the ones with the blades were a lot difficult to take down.
Yeah.
Now, the controls, I felt like, maybe it was just a demo, but there were times where the controllers started out as a little bit wonky.
Yeah.
But
did you have to change any of the actual controls to make it work for you?
No. I just had to get used to it. Grin and bear it. Although I will say I do like their usage of all the combos that they have in this. Like you can do like one specific move and like there'll be like five different variations of that move that you'll see Kit perform.
Something.
And the graphics were okay for a downloadable title, but maybe a little bit more polish.
Yeah, they could probably do a lot better. I mean, maybe, is it just the demo that you played?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe if it's just the demo and then when they put it out there, they'll have it all, like, shined up and looking pretty.
I do have to say that the voice acting in the game was pretty good. Like, this could easily be taken, like, maybe take the original comic book and turn it into, like, an Adult Swim series.
Or, I would say probably turning it into something like, what is it?
Stripperella?
No, the other one with the chainsaw and for the Wii game. There you go.
Oh, Mad World.
Mad World, yeah, exactly. Like, Mad World, how they did kind of, like, the comic book setup on that thing. Mm-hmm. Do it kind of like that. That would be pretty cool.
Alright. And my thoughts on this is the game could be good, but it could be a disappointment. I think we should wait until we hear what other critics have to say about it when the official version comes out. But if it's good enough, I think it could warrant itself its own video game franchise.
Yeah.
So I give the demo a 3 out of 5.
All right. That's good.
All right, let's talk about the abomination known as My Sims Sky Heroes.
I fucking have to cringe. Oh, fuck. The whole fucking thing with this one is you didn't even create your own sim. It's just It didn't even make it set up that you could actually do your own sim setup. So they just give you pre-sims, and you're able to do that, and then toss them into planes that actually almost all had the same
fucking design.
Yeah, well, not the same design, but same attributes, you know, speed, movement, everything like that. So it was basically even out matches when you did either the dogfights or the racing. So it just depended on how much you were going to spend sitting on the acceleration button instead of, flying around trying to shoot down the other people. So It's definitely one of those games that it's not everybody's cup of tea, but if you're all about jerking off to The Sims, this is probably your game.
I tried it for like 2 minutes and I was like, you know what, whoa, fuck this.
You tried jerking off The Sims for 2 minutes?
No.
The game Sky Heroes.
I was talking about jerking off because people like The Sims so much that they'll spend hours after hours watching their own little character running around houses, doing jobs, and then also
burning to death.
Yeah, either burning to death or watch them playing a game on a computer. They're watching a computer game on a computer playing another game. It just doesn't make any fucking sense to me. It's almost kind of like how Saints Row 2 made fun of Grand Theft Auto, which was pretty fucking hilarious if you get to watch that video.
Okay, yes. See, I just walked in at the wrong time because all I heard was masturbating The Sims, and he said I did it for like 2 minutes.
You were right there at the fridge!
No, I walked over to the bathroom to rinse out my glass, so water wasn't doing
anything. Jerking off.
No, I rinsed out the glass.
Oh, okay.
So the water...
Right.
But I tried to demo for 2 minutes. Just gave up, went back to the Snoopy Flying Ace, because that is such an awesome title. This was the shit that came out of the ass of the ass.
Are you trying to go with Jay
and Nicole Smith?
You're trying to go with Jay and Silent Bob, be like, you know, we'll eat their shit.
Yes.
And then when we shit out their shit, we'll make them eat that shit. So they're eating the shit that they shat out beforehand, and just goes on and on. So it's just like, that crap.
Well, I just think of Anna Nicole Smith talking about shit after shit after shit after shit.
All right, can we not talk about her? She's dead. She has nothing to say anymore.
Yeah, but now that she's dead, she turns into, you know, manure, which is shit.
God damn it. Yeah, worm shit. Anyways. Yes. So, Sims is definitely a .0 on the fucking thing.
A -0.
-0. -0. If there is such a thing, -0.
Well, in the world of the B3, negative
fucking
zero.
Fucking -0.
If you get a number next to that negative, it's still better than -0.
What else?
It was a couple months ago we were talking about a video game called Death Spank.
Wait, are you talking about the second demo version now that they kind of revamped it so people could buy it again?
No, it's a sequel.
Already?
Yes.
They were able to build it that fast? Maybe people will actually learn from this company and build games faster. Yeah. Oh, these people are retarded. I didn't like the game so much in the first sense. I didn't get to try the demo, but here, you speak your piece.
Well, in the demo, you escape from a POW camp, and what you gotta do is you gotta forge an ID. You gotta steal the ogre's outfit and then learn the secret password, which you all do within like the first 3 minutes while hacking to death ogres and evil chickens and other weird shit.
Do we have to deal with the fucking witch again?
Nope, no witch.
Oh, good.
And
she was fucking annoying.
And it's another hack and slash game. And this time, the enemies are easier to defeat.
Oh, okay. I mean,
I'm happy about that.
This is kind of like one of those Crash Bandicoot slash Spyro games, you know, kind of setups where, you know, I kind of lost interest in that after I don't know, grew hair on my balls. So, and that was probably 13? No, I'm just kidding.
And then he learned how to shave him a week later.
That too!
But I have to say, too, that the humor in this game is a lot funnier.
Oh, okay.
Like
Wait, now, are we talking about adult funny, or is it...
Somewhat.
Shits and giggles.
Somewhat. A little bit more adult humor, but I like the childish humor in it as well. Like, so what I have to do is take this paper, right? Uh-huh. And I gotta take this pen, right? And I have to draw something, correct? Yes, that's correct, Despang. So I can draw dinosaurs shooting lasers out of their eyes! No, dumbass, you gotta forge an ID.
Yeah.
Oh, alright. That doesn't sound as much fun.
Yeah, see, I don't know, it just gets to the point where I've dealt with so much stupid humor, I think I've been overloaded too many times.
I like the voice of Despank, though. It's like that over-heroic hero voice that he has.
He kind of reminds me of the Tick.
Ooh, yes!
Yeah,
yes.
That's what he reminds me of. Kind of like that
guy. It might be the same voice actor!
I will comment on that in a minute.
But altogether, for this demo, I have to give it a 4 out of 5. I felt it was better put together, and the bad guys were a lot easier to defeat, unlike the first version. You can actually level up a lot easier. You can regain your health a lot quicker. I felt like it was a large improvement over the first game, from what I've played so far. I might actually consider buying this one, and maybe wait for the first one to like drop down and like
yeah price. And then maybe buy that because I sometimes yeah what you say 800 I don't think it's worth 800. It's definitely not.
I think it's at 800 or 1200 points.
Fuck
1200, forget it,
fuck that.
Just, you know, get a bottle of lotion, you know, about a 5 gallon one, you know, ask certain people where you can buy them.
No. So anyways,
now, the final game I want to talk about is a game that came out of left field for me. It's from Namco Bandai, and it's called Enslaved Odyssey to the West. Now, in this demo, you play a guy named Monkey, and you try to escape from a space station that before it crash lands in a post-apocalypse New York City. This game was written by Alex Garland, who wrote 28 Days Later.
Was he also the guy that I saw wrapped around a tree last year?
No.
So wait, he did 20... No, you son of a bitch. So 28... Did he do 28 Weeks? Or did
I think he helped with the story of 28 Weeks Later. Okay. But the game was also directed by Andy Serkis, who played Gollum, King Kong, and a few other really awesome CGI characters.
Fucking Gollum.
Now, the graphics and the demo, at least, they looked awesome in some places, but within the space station, it kind of looked a little blurry in some areas. The controllers, very easy from the get-go. You know how to punch, you know how to jump, you know how to climb.
Yeah.
It's just like learning how to count.
Yeah, definitely.
It was so easy. And when it gets to the part where the plane's starting to crash and you're fighting off robots on like the actual wing of the space station.
Oh, that sounds pretty fucking crazy. It's like Star Fox.
Yeah. And then you're trying to climb up and get to the last escape pod before it launches, and you've got like that whole timer thing going on, where it's like, you have 20 seconds before the last escape pod is launched. And it's at the edge of your seat. And I was just amazed by how great this demo was.
Yeah.
And then once the demo was over, it shows what happens next. Apparently, Monkey gets, like, this thing, like a headband put onto his head by a woman, which helps, which controls him, because she needs help getting to the west.
Okay.
And he's probably the only one that can help bring her there safely.
Now it's just sounding like Dragon Ball Z.
Well, Ridge. The game is an homage to the original Chinese mythological story of Monkey journey to the west.
Yeah.
The same one that Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett did the Chinese opera
of. Oh, okay, alright.
Altogether, I was pretty impressed with this demo.
Hey! Okay, so now what's your rating?
I would give it a 4.7 out of 5. And I think I might actually consider buying this game and review it.
Alright, great.
I mean, I got $35 worth of gift certificates from Best Buy. I could probably use it on that.
He fell asleep again. Alright, I got one game that we could add to the list today.
Okay.
Terminator Salvation!
Let's all put Terminator Salvation!
Alright, you know what? Why don't we let Anvil talk about this one?
Okay. So, like, we were at the movie theater in Revere today.
We were just a little bit early, so we got to do this.
Yeah, so we showed up early, and I'm sitting there, I look over at the video game section, I see Terminator Salvation, I'm like, oh, whatever. But then all of a sudden I saw that gun system, I'm like, blue.
M4s, yay.
Their gun system was an M4 with a grenade launcher attached.
Teehee.
So, you know, you hold it like a normal rifle. To reload, you actually have to hit where the clip is, and it actually popped it.
Mm-hmm.
And to shoot the grenades,
yeah.
You actually had a button on the grenade launcher.
Yes.
I'm holding this weapon, and I felt like I was holding the real thing.
Yeah, it felt great because also it was, you know, it gave you the shock, you know, feeling like you were shooting, you know, things, especially when you fired the grenade launcher. It felt like it pushed back a little bit harder.
So, I mean, me and Blue.
Oh, man, we were fucking wrecking Roblox. Oh, dude, it was awesome. Just,
we mowed it down pretty well.
Oh, I just want to have this game system now at my house so I can just play it when I'm the
I thought I the game was awesome, but I think what made it like 100 times better was those weapons.
Yeah, I mean, just because of the fact is whenever I play like Call of Duty or something like that, I wish I had a gun setup that I could play. I mean, yeah, you could do it on Wii, but it's not as fun. I think what this version of the game is it's like Time Crisis. So you play the game and you're holding like the gun set up and they're moving you around, not, you know, doing all that other stuff. But I mean, they gave it a setup where when you're fighting, it actually ducks for you a couple of times and stuff like that. But the game altogether,
a better looking version of the original Terminator 2 arcade game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the whole Aerosmith kind of setup on there where you're like, you know, with the machine gun.
Yep.
Although it's really hard to put them two together because Terminator 2, the arcade game, is such a classic.
Yeah, it exactly. Is.
But this one had better weaponry, better control, better power-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, you had some of the actual guns would show up green, and if you shot them, you could get a shotgun, a mini Uzi. Mm-hmm. And when you're flying in the helicopter, you got to fire Browning 50 cal. You're like,
I mean, him was just mowing down
just
people.
Just fucking up robots the way it should be. Oh,
and,
man.
Unlike, you know, some of the other games where, you know, you'd shoot them and, you know, blow their legs off and they died. These guys
are
putting their legs up and they're still coming at you.
We'd be the motherfucking survivors of shit like that, so.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I would have too much fun. Just be like, yep, another one down, motherfucker!
The sad thing is, all three of us would survive because me and Blue would be killing everything and the duck would be like, yeah.
Be like, I'm just going to throw a grenade once in a while.
He's like, look what I can do, look what I can do. Boom!
Got one.
Yeah.
How many do we got? 800. Duck's got 50. He's got. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great game to just, you know, pop a couple dollars in and play for, you know, about 10, 15 minutes. It got to kill us some time before we had to go into the movies.
It kind of makes me want to go there
I know.
And just lift up the system.
And then we went to Buttfuckers, I mean Fuddruckers, and the game was there. We just wanted to go and play it again. It was so bad. It's just, it's like one of those addicting games that you
just
want to keep playing.
Now, what sucks, though, is that the home version isn't the same game.
No, it never is, because
it's
you
a
can't...
third-person shooter in the home
I mean, version. Unless they were able to sell the setup, like, when I had the... I actually had the home version of Time Zone. I mean, no, Time Cops or whatever the fuck it was.
Time Crisis.
And I, you know, the whole friggin' thing is moving for you. So all you have to do is go, big, 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 reload, big, 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 big. You know, kind of, it got you into like speed shooting. It was pretty cool.
But
it was like playing House of the Dead Overkill on the Wii.
Yeah. But yeah. One thing that I did like about this one is you also had allies, you know, just like it normally would be. So not all the guys were attacking you, they were attacking them, and you had to try to keep you guys safe at the same time?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Because they're helping you with this mission. If all you guys die, you're not going to really complete your mission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, when you look at Realm 4 and you look at this, same size.
Yeah, same
little shape. Bit lighter.
You can put your kind of face to it and yeah, you know, look down. You can actually look down the barrel. It's great.
And I love the reloading system where you actually hit where the magazine is.
You wish you could just reload that fast, though. I mean, it's just by the time it's more or less the speed figure on it. It would be like you dropping your case, going down like this, then clicking and then firing because you have to cock it back again unless you leave one bullet in the chamber and then you could start going at it. But yeah, it is an awesome game, and if you get to try it, you won't be disappointed when you play this game.
You know, especially you, Tech Tiger 16, you know, you might really enjoy it.
We know who you are.
Yeah. So, I think we're going to break off from the video games, correct?
Yeah. And sports.
Sports times, because you need to take a break.
Right. So,
this is why. I need to get a drink.
Get a drink.
Get some whiskey. I want some.
Kraken! Kraken! No.
We'll save that for my birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Why not?
Yeah, that's true.
So, in the world of sports, there's a lot going on. Especially this past week. Red Sox are playing the Yankees. Three here. Then we're going to play three against the White Sox and three against the Yankees to end the season. And there's still a little glimmer of hope.
Little. Just very fucking tiny.
Basically, we have no room for mistakes. We were 7.5 out before last night. Now it's 6.5. With 9 games left. We're currently in the 7th inning, and the Sox are up 5-0.
Fuck yeah!
But I'm still not confident after last night's game.
Yeah, well,
we
last night's
game... 10-1, and we want to win 10-8.
Yeah, that is not good. I mean, especially when you have it in your grasp, and then all of a sudden, whoever's pitching at that time...
Beckett imploded?
Beckett fucked up. That's the worst thing that could happen. The pitcher goes in from the first 6-7... He drops out because, you know, he's finally getting the jello arm, and they pull in somebody else, and he fucks everything up.
Beckett was the starter, and we only gave up 2 runs after he left.
But I'm saying usually that's the case.
I know.
But last night, I mean, I guess he got the jello arm, and they just didn't acknowledge that maybe we should pull him out after the first home run that happened.
And they went back-to-back, and they still kept him
back in? Back-to-back, and they kept him in. It didn't make any sense on his part, but I think they also were saying about them crossing off names on the list because they didn't want to use a couple people.
They were saying how they saw him cross off Mike Lowell after the injury. Now, if you didn't watch the game last night, Mike Lowell got hurt. The ball was coming, he had his glove down, and all of a sudden just jumped up and slammed him across the face.
He's pretty fucking lucky because that didn't hit him in the temple. It hit him in
the corner of the eye.
The corner of the eye towards the temple area, and that was actually pretty scary because I've dealt with stuff like that when I played when I was younger, and I'm telling you, the field can be your worst enemy or your best friend because bounces can fuck you over or make or break you, basically.
So I know me and Blue were sitting there, you know, chilling back, relaxing. All of a sudden, we're on the edge of our seats because Michael was laying face down.
Dick, what the fuck? Did that just happen?
And he wasn't moving.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they rolled him over. He finished the inning, but he didn't come back.
Yeah, they replaced him.
And I don't know if we'll see Mike Lowell again, because he's already announced his retirement as of the end of the season.
Yeah, but I mean, if the game goes in, if we have that glimmer of hope to get into the actual playoffs, he might still be able to play.
Hey, I mean, just remember, last time we won the championship in 2007, he was the World Series MVP.
Yeah, exactly.
So. He's got his 2 rings. One with us and one with the Marlins.
He's good. He's all set for life. Well, he could be like, woohoo, I've got rings.
You ready for this? Did you know that we weren't supposed to get Mike Lowell?
Yeah, we never were.
When we made the trade with, you know, to get Hanley Ramirez to the Marlins and a couple other guys for Josh Beckett, the Marlins like, here, take Mike Lowell. We don't want him anymore. And he became such a crucial part to us winning.
Now, do you think he'll be Hall of Fame material?
Possibly, but I think we were talking about, I think there was actually a talk thing going on after the Red Sox game saying, you know, people of MVPs getting into the actual, you know, Hall of Fame of baseball and all that bullshit. And sometimes people that have been great players have gotten MVP of the year, but their team was absolute shit. They were the only thing that
A-Rod was actually... A-Rod all every time he was on the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, basically. But I'm just saying in the sense that there's always those players that actually are able to help push the team along a little bit further to make a good couple of wins or something like that. But yet, they can't always get put into the high, you know, pedestal of the Hall of Fame.
Well, truth be told, it's not even about how good you were. It's how the reporters like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, all right, I'm going to use myself for example. Let's say I play football.
I thought you do.
In the NFL.
Okay.
And I play running back. Which, of course, we all know I'm too fat for. And I put up the same exact numbers as Emmitt Smith. Like, I tie him for every record.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the, you know, media. So I don't talk to them. I ignore them.
Tell them to go fuck themselves.
When it comes to the Hall of Fame ballot, they'll sit there. Oh, Doug Judge. Let's move him over here because he wouldn't talk to us. I'm not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the writers that choose.
Yeah, I mean, yes. it doesn't matter really because of the fact that, you know, if they were to pick Doug Judge to fucking be in the Hall of Fame, then it would happen that way because exactly. of the fact is you have to, when you are a baseball player, football player, basketball player, just go down the fucking line of sports, you have to be camera friendly, you can't be shy too much, you have to go with it, you have to just be like, oh, take that question, not so much going, in that game, I did this. Yeah, exactly what you just said. I just did that. You can't fucking be dumb.
Agree with what Melvin, I mean Anvil, is saying. Sorry, I just said your real name.
Melvin. Yes.
I thought my name was Patrick.
Yeah.
I hate you guys now. I mean, my
That's
name
a good,
is...
strong Irish name. No, just kidding.
My name is not Patrick. But what it is... I'm going to use the perfect example of the writers holding guys back. Red Sox slugger Jim Rice.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pete Rose.
No.
Pete Rose held himself back. Wait, how was he able to get back on the baseball field? We got to talk about that.
Oh, yes. And actually, I read up on that so I can answer it.
Okay.
Jim Rice, one of the best sluggers to play this game. But he didn't talk to the media, and until last year, they held him back.
Yeah.
Well, and we also have to take into play that there was a lot of racism at one point.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, not as bad. And it wasn't because of that. It's because he didn't talk to the media. And he got sent, like, he was on the final one.
And he got fucked.
And what wound up happening was they finally decided to let him in. And he got in last year. And I know me and Blue celebrated.
Yeah.
When that came down, we were so excited. But let's go over what Blue wanted, Pete Rose. Yes. He came onto the field the other day, and what wound up happening was 2 years ago, he had finally admitted to betting, which is something he'd never done. But he always said, I never betted on my team. He's like, I betted on baseball, I betted on it all, but I never bet on my team.
Yeah.
So he's allowed to come to that, but they still won't take him off the list to get him in the Hall of Fame, because he's a guaranteed Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Greatest hitter to ever play this game.
I got some of those cards laying around, actually.
And people are like, oh, how is he the greatest? He didn't put up all these home run numbers? No. He got hits. Not one of those crank, joggy way around. Like, he legged out doubles.
Not steroid pumping motherfuckers.
Right. No, he actually had 10 years. He had 10 years in his career where he had 200 hits or more.
Yes.
Ichiro's now the second one. He just did it the other night. Ichiro did consecutive, Pete Rose didn't. But Pete Rose has way over 4,000 hits in his career. And that's just freakish.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking amazing.
I mean, musicians could wish they had 4,000 hits in their career.
Yeah, but Ichiro, a guy that's had a great career,
mm-hmm.
could only dream of seeing 3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what, Pete Rose...
What was Cal Ripken there? Cal Ripken, he reached a milestone. That was pretty
He was like most consecutive games.
Yeah, he was games played. But, I mean, there were some milestones hit the other night, and one of them I want to talk about.
What's that?
Toronto Blue Jays slugger Jose Bautista hit his 50th home run of the season.
He's not related to Bautista from WWE,
no,
right?
No.
Okay.
And I want to make an accusation.
Accusation, everybody.
The ring is off. That means he wants to talk serious, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I am accusing Jose Bautista of using steroids.
Okay. Now, just to make it clear, this isn't an immature accusation.
No.
Or premature.
I am taking what I know of stats. In 6 years in the majors, he hit a total of 59 home runs in 6 years. His best year, he hit 16. How does 1 year, all of a sudden, he hit 50?
I mean, I have to say that sometimes it just gets to the point where, you know, Practice. Sometimes just gets, you know, it gets to the point where it's like, I'm going to do something good this year, and then somebody puts in the effort. But sometimes it does, I don't know, it just doesn't look good because of the fact that Anvil here is got an actually pretty good accusation. I mean, if he hasn't he hasn't been able to put up the numbers beforehand, and now he's putting up the numbers,
like just
there's
like
something
that.
Wrong. There's something wrong with this pitcher.
If maybe last year he jumped up to like 24, and then he went up into the 30s, and
then that
50?
Would be respectable.
Yes,
that would be respectable because he's one of those players that you're used to seeing actually getting home runs.
Yeah. Now, me as an athlete personally, you know, I still play semi-pro football and I do cage fighting. Hearing about steroids, it hurts me because it feels like my sports are being taken away.
Yes.
I hope this accusation is wrong. I really do hope that this man did this truthfully. But the numbers just aren't there because steroids are happening everywhere now.
Mm-hmm. Well, all you got to do is take off the guy's shirt, and then if he's got all this acne on there, steroids!
No, because that's not true.
Well, it is true somewhat, but
not all cases.
Chanel Sonnen, guy that fought Anderson Silva and almost beat him for the title. He tested positive for steroids. Or human growth hormones. Well, he's been officially suspended by the California Athletic Commission, retroactive to September 2nd, 2010.
One fucking year!
And he will not be allowed to step in a cage till September 2nd, 2011.
Have fun jerking off.
That truthfully, people are like, oh, that's harsh, because usually you start with 3 months or 6 months. This was a championship fight, and you could have seriously injured him in there. And truthfully, I mean, he would have
lost to it.
And he still
lost.
And that was credit to Anderson Silva as a fighter.
Yes.
I think if he gets caught again, ban him for life.
Yeah, ban him, you know. How can you fucking?
I bet you Dana White screamed his voice out.
Dude, Dana White still hasn't made an official statement since everything's been done because he wants to figure out what's going on because this hurts him.
Well, that's the other thing is the fact that he, you know, they actually found out beforehand and they still let the fight go on. But also the other thing is that with the actual fight thing, that does turn out the credibility of the actual fighters when they go into the ring and they have some kind of doping or some kind of steroids that they have put into their body to help them fight better. I mean, hell, Anvil and I have been, you know, working out of the gym lately, and believe me, I know why the fact that people want to do roids because of the fact is, fuck, I'm trying to pump the iron myself and everything like that, and it gets to the point where I'm like, fuck, my muscles are tired. I can't do a fucking simple, you know,
it's like just a bench.
Well,
I mean... If you don't mind if I talk a little personally for a second on this.
Fuck it, go ahead.
I know I've had, you know, a couple times when I'm in the gym, and me and him will lift the same weight.
Yeah.
And he'll lift it, and then I'll go through, and he has a look on his face, because I'm having ease with it, and I have to keep on reminding him that back in high school, I was an athlete. I lifted every day.
Yeah, and I was the fat fucker that sat on the couch all the time and playing video games. Because not gonna lie.
And trench coat.
Trench coat, yes, and the trench coat.
You know, the other day, you know, we worked a little bit light, and... You know, lighter than normal.
Yeah, and those motherfuckers were, like, kind of smirking at us. I don't know. I still think I could kick their ass. I don't give a shit if you're a muscle fucking
Next time you
asshole.
Think of how bad that is, just imagine me trying to lift those weights.
See, now that's perfectly fine. What they expect from you is to maybe do little because of right now, it doesn't. You don't have massive volumes.
Right.
We have good size arms.
I have a little bit of muscle.
But with us, we're like, we're bigger guys. They expect us to be like, oh yeah, let me go up to that 500-pound one. Yes, I fucking did it. Yes. Oh, I'm going to go jerk off the roadhouse.
Hey. What's wrong with that?
Patrick Swayze. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I have to say about that.
Yes. That is all I have to say about that.
That's right. Old-fashioned working out. Me and Blue, 3 days a week in there lifting arms, legs.
Yeah, exactly.
I am Hans, and we hit the pump.
You are. But we're doing, like, we're also, like you said, protein shake here. We're doing, like, the whey protein powder. Like, we toss that in the blender, blend it up, throw it in our drinks things, sit there on the couch, sip it back and watch some TV afterwards because we're you know, we've worked ourselves to the brim.
Or I'll go home, drink my protein shake, and go to bed because I work that night.
Yeah, because
I leave work and go to lifts with him.
I mean, it's usually hard for him because he's coming off like working. You know, no, not that, you sick fucker. I knew you were going to do it. I knew you were going to say semen, you sick fucker. No, not that protein shake, you sick fucker. I'm talking about the actual powder bags that you buy, you know, EAS or whatever other companies, and you go to, like, GNC or otherwise. We went to BJ's and we bought, like, a whole, like, bag for, like, $28.
You do realize that doesn't help our argument with him because we went to BJ's to get...
Yes. Fuck! Anyways, besides BJ's. And it doesn't stand for blowjobs!
I wish it did, but some of the women are really hot.
Giggity, giggity, go. Hey, shut up, you.
Hey, I'm sorry. But, no, I think athletes, you know, should be held accountable. And truthfully, these little suspensions of, oh, you're going to miss 40 days. Really? That's it? I think that if you're caught cheating, like in the NFL, your first offense, you're gone for 4 games. I love the NFL, and they are some of the strictest on this policy. Mm-hmm. I think you should lose your season.
I think David Ortiz had at best what he thought would be the...
Oh, let's hear this. I want to have
I believe he said if you're caught for first offense, you should be banned for a year.
And this is a man that got accused of it, and he made these statements after being accused.
Because
he didn't do it.
He's just a big guy altogether. There's no way. I don't think we've ever seen him actually like thin as a rod. Because that's the whole thing. It's like some of these guys have been thin as a rod, and they come back and they're like, and you're like, holy fuck, dude, calm down. I mean, what was that movie that had the football players and everything like that?
The Program.
Yeah, Program, exactly. There was one of the guys that was like a linebacker, and he was a fucking maniac. And of course they go, oh yeah, you know, dude, he wasn't looking that fucking buff a year ago. Oh yeah, dude, if you hit the fucking gym harder on the year and stuff like that, you could be looking like that.
Well, actually, you could.
Yeah, you could, but they actually showed him taking the roids. Yeah,
you'd have to spend every day in the gym working out, like, 4 hours a day to get that cut, and your muscles are suffering.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're dying for every bit of protein that you can put into your system.
Those are the people that have to consume 500 grams of protein a day.
I mean, we were just watching the MTV Made where the kid wanted to be a bodybuilder, which I don't
want to sound like a girl.
Yeah, and he was from Tennessee. But the fact is they were feeding him, like...
Proteins and...
Fucking baby food. Every fucking thing they could find for bodybuilding. And, yeah, believe me, it was pretty crazy.
I mean, let's move away from baseball and stuff like that. Let's cover football.
Yeah.
You know, we're running out of time here. The Patriots lost last week to the Jets.
I know.
2014. It hurt. Darrell Revis, though, their star, was injured.
Yes.
While trying to cover Randy Moss on his phenomenal one-handed touchdown.
Revis and Moss said,
No.
So... But I mean, I know last week we're like, yeah, the Patriots are going to win easily, but it just turned out that the team wasn't holding up their side.
Brady just didn't look normal.
I mean, I mean that was a phenomenal catch by Randy Moss, but the fact is...
I thought that was going to get him his 3-year contract. And renewal.
And then don't forget, this week we're playing Buffalo.
Buffalo!
Yes, we're playing Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, but they're actually right now doing 0-2, so they've lost both of their games and everything like that, so they're doing absolute shit.
And the Patriots
have
not lost to Buffalo in 3 years.
Yeah,
I mean, since 03, I apologize.
Since 03.
Wow, I suck at my years again. But I'm going to continue jumping around because we are running short on time. The Bruins started their preseason. Mm-hmm. Guys are looking good. Tuca's looking good. The new kid, you know, Seguin, he's looking awesome.
Yeah. Seguin!
Unfortunately, Mark Savard may be done for the year already.
Yeah.
Because he's suffering from post-concussion syndrome. Now, only athletes really know about this.
We got that other football player. We got that football player that happened to.
Well, no, I'm saying only athletes truly know about post-concussion syndrome. Because I had a nurse, you know, I was at the hospital the other day visiting a friend. And she knows me. And she's like, don't you play football? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, don't you worry about degenerative brain disease? And I hadn't really thought about it, but she actually kind of bothered me. Because that's her first comment. Not, hey, how you doing? How's football going?
Yeah, exactly.
But aren't you worried about degenerative brain disease?
disease?
Because, well...
Golly gee willikers, what's that?
Well, truthfully, what wound up happening was a few months ago, an offensive lineman from Penn State hung himself.
Yeah, he hung...
And his family donated his brain to study.
I feel so bad for that family.
Yeah. And they realized that he had degenerative brain disease, because guys like me, offensive and defensive linemen, our heads are... all the time.
Yeah. And especially when they're celebrating. Like, yeah, good job.
Just coming off the line.
It's usually always just it's not shoulder pads and shoulder pad all the time. It's
the
just
heads are clanging. Bink. And we get concussions. And unfortunately, unlike these little dudes that affects really hard, it doesn't affect us as much. And we could play an entire game with a concussion and not even know it. And our brains are suffering. And that's why, I know I've suffered one major concussion. Where literally I wasn't allowed to go near a field and I almost failed my concussion test. Well, I failed the first one and passed the second. Because my brain was actually bruised.
Yeah.
An MRI CAT scan showed a bruise on my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, truthfully, my brain could be deteriorating and I just
you
don't
wouldn't even know, yeah. No, that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah, he's resilient, blah, blah, blah. That's the fucking bullshit that's wrong with that, because they could go and, they keep on feeding the guy bullshit and keep pushing him out on the field, and then they wonder why he ends up dead, so...
Yeah.
I mean, you know what?
Anil may make a silly comment once in a while, dumb comment.
I'm not blaming it on the concussion.
Fuck you.
But that doesn't mean he's got brain disease.
No, yeah. But what it is, they start thinking more and more, because... I play football. I'm a cage fighter. I take blows to the head.
Mm-hmm.
They
should study Chuck Liddell's head.
They probably will later on in life.
Actually, he might be one of those guys that after he dies will donate his brain to science.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, I'm probably going to do the same just to see where it happened. Because who knows if, let's say I live to be 70.
Mm-hmm.
I might have Alzheimer's by then because of these blows to my head. You two, would come visit
Muhammad
me.
Muhammad Ali, man. Look at him.
He got blows to the head.
Blows to the fucking head.
Days,
I mean, yes, Roper Dope works, but fucking later on in life, it fucking gets you back, man.
Well, people like, because they're tying Parkinson's and stuff like this to these brain, injuries, and he has days where he can't remember who he is.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest fighters to ever walk this earth,
mm-hmm.
and there's days he doesn't even know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he has his good days, he has his bad
days. He was the most intelligent man back then. I mean, the movies, if you watched any of his movies and
when
stuff
we were
like
kings.
That. Yeah, just he would talk and he'd get to the fucking point. He wouldn't be fucking dilly-dallying around this motherfucking, speech. He'd get straight to the point and be done with it.
And now he has days he can't even talk.
He can't even fucking talk straight out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm proud to say, I've got an autographed picture of him when he was younger. Now he can't even sign autographs.
Yeah.
His hand shakes way too badly that, it looks like a 5-year-old did it. So, if you're an athlete, please take care of yourself.
Yeah, somebody wants to know about the second string goalie.
Oh, the second string goalie is Tim Thomas.
And now
come on, Tim Thomas. You had to have known that.
Yeah. Well, no. Usually, it was he was first string, and then I think
and then he lost. Well, he got injured last year.
Yeah, so it was Tuukka.
And Tuukka Rask came in and just started playing phenomenally, and he just never came back.
Yeah.
But no, to all athletes out there, take care of yourself. If you suffer a head injury,
rush. We also want to mention about what we talked about last week with that kid who dropped dead on the football field. That was, they were actually trying to say that possibly the other thing was, is they had the choking games, that they were playing and stuff like that. I don't know if you read about this, but
I saw that.
There was something about the kids choking themselves. You know, how they do is they choke themselves to the point where they get kind of knocked out. It's almost like how if somebody is fighting you in MMA and they put the chokehold on you and you go into a blackout and then you wake up afterwards. That shit could still fuck you up later on, and I don't doubt that some blockage or something like that was caused from doing this and fucked up his brain.
Because all they had to do was hold on to one part of the neck too tight, and his brain,
exactly. It would just be, it'd be a drop-dead brain, so yeah.
So it would have been his fault for taking part in
it. But also, I mean, he also was playing football and stuff like that, so anything goes. We haven't really gotten a full-back fucking report here, but it's just one of those things that's very scary.
Was the brain, to have lack of oxygen during the game, and he takes a blow to the head.
Yep. Right.
Now, I also want to touch on one other thing that happened this week that is tied to the possible degenerative brain disease and head injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Denver Broncos wide receiver, McKinley,
yeah,
23 years old, was found dead in his bedroom of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He wasn't right in the head. After he suffered his knee injury, needed surgery, in his head, everything was gone. And they said, you know, this is another thing that came up, is the blows to the head could have put it into him that maybe he might be done.
And you think it might have been giving him depression and all that basically sort of stuff?
And he had just taken his son with him and everything, and two of his friends, the ladies, had taken the son out. He laid down on his bed, put a pillow on his head, put the gun in, and blew his head off.
I guess he did a pretty good job with the silencer. Jesus.
He didn't want anybody to hear, and yeah, he didn't want anybody to walk in the room and see that.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I guess what the note kind of said, because the only way that they knew he was dead was when they moved the pillow.
Yeah.
So his kid didn't have to see it, and the ladies didn't have to see it. Mm-hmm. So just take care of yourselves if you're an athlete. I know once a year I go get my physical, get my MRIs and CAT scans done. And
I mean, if you ever feel any fucked up, you know, thoughts or anything like that, go fucking talk to somebody. I mean, hell, they were actually doing the walk for suicide just recently, or going to be doing it very soon.
Yeah, at least just find a really good friend, because I know me and Blue, you know, if we're having bad days, we'll talk to each other.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Same with the doc here.
Yeah, when I talk with Nanya or Taco. Or
you have to have Shades. A networking set up so you can actually talk with people, not be like,
we have a
scared.
Good circle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Bastards have a good circle.
No, not circle jerking. I mean, just circle as a friends, you know.
Because we all know that we can call each other at any time.
Yeah,
send a text message, hey, you know, can I talk?
Yeah.
And I know me and the duck, you know, I'll be up at night sometimes and we'll just sit there and talk back and forth.
Yeah.
Me and Blue will talk on the phone.
Sometimes I'm incapacitated, but I'm always there afterwards.
Well, like at the gym, me and him will, you know, get stuff off our chest. So, I mean, find some friends. I know Tech Tiger, you know, 16, he knows that, you know, we're here for him too.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of ours. You know, if he ever needs to talk, you know, just hit us up. You have our numbers, you know, you have all that. So, you know, use your friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is.
That's a very important message, children.
From the Boston Bastard.
I know we're very, very short on time, but tonight's fight night.
Yeah.
With two big fights. The heavyweight fight. Actually, no, it's no longer heavyweight. No, it is heavyweight. Forget it. Sorry.
Light heavyweight or heavyweight?
That's right. Tap out, baby.
Tap out,
regular heavyweight.
I do mine, but mine's still in the wash.
Tap out!
Frank Mir is taking on Mirko Krokop Filipov. Yes, I just love saying his last name.
Okay, and then we're going to be watching that fight tonight.
Along with Antonio Ruggiero Nogueira.
I love how you always almost fuck up that name every time.
It's just because so hard to, because there's two brothers.
The twin brothers, the one that's Minotaur was a fighter,
uh-huh,
his real middle name is Rodrigo, and I keep on almost going to say Rodrigo.
Yes.
Because they're almost the same. He's fighting Ryan Bader. And there's a couple other good fights. So, I mean, I want to see how tonight goes.
Yeah.
And
it's
tonight,
probably not the best card, but it's good enough for us.
Exactly. And plus, the B3 crew are doing our MMA Fantasy League, where we will be drafting our guys tonight before the fight.
But yeah.
Tech Tiger, if you come over, you're more than welcome to join in our Fantasy League.
All right. Let's put a cap on this podcast. Remember, check out our website at BostonBashBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. And if you got a question, comment, or request, it's thebastards@BostonBashBrigade.com.
We're also on Facebook, and you type in Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us through the groups. Probably be like popped up really fast, because I've noticed that. It's really nice.
Yes.
Along with that, we also have the MySpace.com/BostonBashBrigade, we're also on there. Not as much, but, you know, we're trying to work with it. We're also trying to put up as much stuff as we can to link us all back into it. And Anvil.
I'm on Twitter. Anvil's on Twitter.
I'm just about ready to go on Twitter.
I mean, I'm going to start going to my Twitter a little bit more and see what's going on. Because I know I haven't touched it in a while, but
yeah.
I mean, since I started giving out my business cards, might as well go over and, you know, throw some messages.
Still haven't got mine back, those motherfuckers.
And check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. And check out Geek Aggro.
Yep, fuck yeah.
Also, one more thing that's near and dear to our hearts. We're going to start raising money over the next, you know, couple of months. We'll get everything set up, where we're going to try to plan some fundraisers and ways, you know, for you guys to help out. So we can raise money for the North Shore Cancer Center. And we're going to participate in the Cancer Walk this year.
Yep.
We want to get a team together.
So if you want to join us or anything like that, you can contact us by our emails and everything like that in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, and if you know, when it comes down to time, if you want to come and walk with us, we'd more than love it.
Yep.
Okay.
Just let us know beforehand. We could probably make up shirts if we're lucky.
Yeah.
Yes. Enough people and we'll do shirts.
All right. Sounds good. So.
And.
No, we're fucking with you, man.
So.
Potato.
God damn it. Oh, I broke it. No, I was kidding. All right. Sorry, we're getting a little bit rowdy for the fight. Come on.
So until next time, this is your King Baby Duck.
This is Melodic.
And this is Anvil.
Say, sign up, bitches.
We are the Masters.
Motherfucker.
Knockout of Frank Mir.
Yes!
Oh, I was going to throw my kick.